Beyond Athletic, episode 48.
Michael Phelps in a recent Sports Illustrated made a quote in there that I think is really interesting that fits with this idea. And he says that while he was in rehab, after he kind of going through a DUI and going to rehab, he said, while he was in rehab, I wound up uncovering a lot of things about myself. For a long time, I saw myself as the athlete that I was, but not as a human being.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people. And just say Shy City.
Don't stop, no, don't quit.
You know who this kid is? He's from Chicago.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA National Team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it, to stay passionate about it, and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic. What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining me once again. Today's guest is a special one, Dr. Benjamin Holtberg, and I actually fell upon him because I was on Instagram playing around, looking for some inspiration, some things that people were doing out there that were good, and I came across Hope Sports. Turns out he's a co-founder, and they are actually devoted to helping athletes connect to the world beyond their athletic careers by helping them build homes for the poor in Mexico and Latin America, because they've actually extended down into Panama. I think that this is something that really defines what I'm going for with Beyond Athletic. So Beyond Athletic is supposed to just really supply you with ways to become great at whatever level you're at now, and then also help you transition into the future just as a better human. And so more about the doctor. He was a 800 and 1500 meter runner through college, and he actually qualified in the NCAA, and he ran the indoor US track and field championships. So he has a PhD in human development and family. And I wanted to get someone on who could talk about the emotional and psychological side of sport, because it's so important. And with elite sports students, one of the things that I'm trying to do is teach young athletes that they have to build their foundation, and that includes emotional, social, psychological, and physical health factors. Now, he actually has expertise that centers on relational factors that impact emotional health within high-stress environments, which is basically what athletes are going through all the time, right? And so his current work is mostly on the role of identity development and character virtues in sport as they relate to emotional health and athletic performance. So there's a lot of things we talk about in today's episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. He continues to work with coaches and athletes from around the world to promote spiritual and emotional health and dealing with these pressures to perform. And I think this is going to bring some insightful things to you and tools that you can use for your athletic performance day to day in training and in matches. So enjoy this episode. Hey there, guys. Welcome to the show. Today's guest is Dr. Benjamin Holtberg. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I know we had, we've just got this back up and rolling this year, and it's just difficulty after difficulty. And now I've got the mic, so hopefully the audio is getting better and better. I know we set up our fail safes, but today is a really special episode because I've been wanting to get into the psychology of just general psychology and then athlete psychology. Sports psychology is really important, but I think that link to life in general, taking these lessons as athletes and applying them to our lives, is such a huge, huge thing. And so your background in this is important. And so I know I've already introed you, and at this point, I'd just like you to briefly state, you know, your experience in sport, what led you into what you're doing it, and why you're so passionate about it.
Yeah, so I came up in the heartland in the United States in Kansas, and I ran track and field and cross country and played basketball, and I've always loved sports and was successful in high school and went on to college to compete and competed all through college and competed for a couple of years post collegiately. And then as I was coming to a place of retirement, I had been suffering some injuries and kind of dealing with those. And I started the PhD program in the area of developmental psychology. And I started to see some of the similarities of the kids I was studying from high risk neighborhoods and how they were dealing with this threat to their immediate self, to their safety. And how actually that connected in some ways to athletes who put a lot of their worth and value into sports, and then they end up operating out of fear. And so I decided to just start studying a little bit more. So I began to study the impacts of emotional health on elite athletes. And I think that was a part of my process, was moving from really understanding emotional health in these high-risk kids and families and contexts to now understanding how does the emotional health and relationship of athletes impact them and how they perform, because there's not a whole lot out there on that.
Yeah, this is actually such a good topic, because in starting Beyond Athletic, I mean, the name implies a lot.
right, yeah.
I couldn't believe that there's not much out there linking these things. And so throughout this journey through sport that I've had so far, I've just realized there's not a lot of trickle down from, for instance, the national team Olympic level with sports down to even professional, down to college, down to high school. I can't believe that it takes years for some of these things to get to them. And by that time, you and I know, it's most of that stuff has been outdated. What I'd like to let you do here is really get into one of the topics that I know that you're so interested in, and that's performance-based identity and emotional health. Yeah. And one of the big parts of Elite Sports Students, which is a project for youth that I know you saw a little bit about when you registered, is building this foundation and teaching kids that you need to build these four different areas. So you're always focus obviously on physical health, because without that you can't perform in sport. And then there's also the mental aspect. But then so often it's just brushed over or not even thought of, the social and emotional aspects.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to hear from you is what that's all about and why you're so passionate about this performance-based identity and emotional health.
Yeah, sure. So it's a natural progression for an athlete to begin to put their big portion of their worth as a human being into how they perform. In fact, you know, Michael Phelps in a recent Sports Illustrated made a quote in there that I think is really interesting that fits with this idea. And he says that while he was in rehab, after he kind of going through a DUI and going to rehab, he said while he was in rehab, I wound up uncovering a lot of things about myself. For a long time, I saw myself as the athlete that I was, but not as a human being. And what a performance-based identity is when people begin to put their worth and value into how they perform in sport, which we all know as athletes is actually pretty fickle. It's up and down. And what I found in some of the research that I'm doing is that this performance-based identity is also associated with the fear of failure, with perfectionist concerns, with fear of disappointing those around you. And physiologically, what happens when we put our worth and value into our performance, what we can start to do is anticipate a competition as a threat to ourself, to our social self, which triggers some of the same mechanisms as real fear, real threat that pulls from our resources in these really negative ways. And it leads to these kind of four areas that of coping, of blame, shame, creating chaos and control that really undermine people's emotional health.
This is these four that you just spoke about. I'd like to hear a little bit for you to expand on those as like examples for athletes to understand like how those can be really happening in
the sports arena.
Yeah, we know in psychology, we go to great lengths to kind of protect our social self. And so these are things that emerged from a colleague of mine named Terry Hargrave's work that I begin to apply to sports. And what you, so an example of someone who tends to shame is somebody after a competition to really kind of have this negative self-talk. And it's not around how I perform. So it's not, I really perform poorly, or I should have done that technique differently. It's, I'm a bad person. I can't believe I messed up. You're worth nothing. You let everybody down. It's this really strong kind of sense that if I shame myself enough, it will somehow motivate me to get up the next morning to work harder so that I can produce better results next time. But that's it's a trap that leads to burnout. Mm-hmm. And then blame is when you kind of turn this anger from the inside to somebody on the outside. So this is the athlete that can tend to move now towards blaming the coach. It's the coach's fault. They should have trained me differently. It's I was sick. It was the referee. It was something outside of me that is to blame, rather than being able to kind of understand my role in this disappointing event. And then control is what a lot of athletes do. As far as when they have a disappointing event, or when we would say is there's this threat to their identity, and that is they just work harder. They say, you know what, I'm gonna shut everything else out in my life. I'm gonna focus more. I'm gonna be mentally tough. I'm gonna work harder. I'm gonna, like a lot of athletes do, I'm gonna push through. And so they isolate themselves many times, and they often control often is. Consistent with shame. So people often shame themselves and then try to create control, and they kind of go through the cycle. And then the final one is chaos. And this, I think, emerges after you can't sustain this motivation for very long. And so what athletes tend to do is create some kind of chaos in their life. This could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be sleeping around. It could be anything that numbs the pain of this disappointing event. Or it could even be self-sabotage. I mean, it could be people who decide that they're going to quit, or they're not going to show up for practice, or they're not going to work hard. And so these kind of four things begin to emerge out of this performance-based identity.
Wow. This is, I'm thinking about every single one of them you're talking about. I'm thinking of examples, you know, from my personal career, how I have done that.
Yeah.
Every one of them, actually. So, what are some ways that athletes can do something better? You know, so what's the prescription for creating more positive paths for these athletes in terms of getting away from the blame, the shame, the control, and the creating chaos?
I think it starts with identity. It starts with understanding your worth and value as a human being goes far beyond just athletics, far beyond sports, and that and it's connecting to a purpose. And what purpose is it organizes around kind of a life aim, and it's something greater than yourself, where you're doing something meaningful outside of yourself that then contributes to your sense of identity and worth. We're studying this a little bit in a couple projects. One is a grant we have with John Templeton Foundation, where we're looking at some of these character virtues within sport of what does predict when sports actually helps people be better as human beings and emotionally healthy. And we're still collecting this data from lots of athletes. But one thing that we suspect is that those that do connect sport to something greater than themselves, to a bigger purpose, not just to perform well and do well and win, that these athletes, young athletes, will do better. And so we're carrying this out right now. We see it. I was a founding member of an organization called Hope Sports, where Guy East is the founder of this, and he was a professional cyclist. And it has such a powerful story of kind of coming to a place in his life where he was feeling broken and was experiencing anxiety. And he'll share this story at our Hope Sports builds. But we bring athletes in to build a home for the poor. And what we're finding is this is a really powerful way to shape purpose. And so The anecdote to a performance-based identity is connecting to purpose, which is based in relationship with other people. And so I would say there's three easy ways to begin to do this in your life. And that is first gratitude, is learning to experience the joy of the sport again, of what brought you to the sport. And the second one is to connect to people in ways that goes beyond just sport and relationships, people who know you, who love you unconditionally, not based on your performance, but based on who you are. And the final thing is through service, like I mentioned, and that's doing something that moves you beyond and outside of yourself and recognizing the value of that, that when it gives you a sense of purpose in life that's beyond just winning.
Oh, wow, man. I love this. I like see a beautiful relationship, hopefully, between you and I, especially if I can get, you know, tech to work on my side and time right. But wow, it's so important that I hope athletes listening to this, both young and old, take these lessons out. I mean, on a really simplified level, we could say that finding purpose and meaning through sport is basically when you're participating in your individual or team sports, that really you think outside of yourself, like you said, but you become more selfless. Yeah. You become less I and more others, more, you know, you and you. Because we're not living in this world alone.
Right.
Our environment is everyone around us. And if we don't acknowledge that and be grateful for just that fact, both the good and the bad, we can't ever really, you know, grow and expand. And then also push past just this identity as a, like, I'm just an athlete. And I see this so often. And I see so many athletes now that I'm entering my mid-30s, or I've entered them. I see athletes all the time that are just like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. They're like, oh, I retired. I'm so happy. I had this great career. The lucky ones, right? The ones that didn't get injured, the ones that could find work. They had a good enough level. And they're just lost. They have to transition. And now that transition is going to burn through a lot of their savings, a lot of their, you know, emotional health, because it's going to create stress, because now you've lost this thing that was such a huge part of your life.
Right.
So what do you do? And so I think that finding this link between you as a person and your happiness outside of sport and in sport.
Right.
Really important. And so my question to you is, how do you find a healthy balance? Because everything is about balance, right?
Right, right.
How do you find that healthy balance between, you know, sport and life and being selfless?
Yeah, it's such a challenge, Ryan. I mean, these athletes that are as athletes, you're striving for excellence, and there's nothing wrong with striving for excellence. There's nothing wrong with getting up every day and working hard to be the best version of you that you possibly can be. There's nothing wrong with pushing through pain. All of those things are amazing things that help us fall in love with sport, right? Is it brings out our best. The potential of sport is so great to bring out people's best, but it's often left to kind of its natural course of just saying, oh, sports produces character. Well, we know it really doesn't. Sometimes it does, but it also can lead to destruction. And so that balance thing is so important that many times we gloss over and we think about enhancing performance instead of enhancing people. And so for me, my passion is to help enhance people. So part of the balance is getting them to recognize their worth and value outside of sport as well, and to use sport as a mechanism to connect to other people, to experience joy, to help others. And so that's a daily choice. I mean, it's a daily choice to say, when I get up today, I'm gonna name three things that I'm grateful for. How has sport brought me joy this week or today? How has it brought me closer to other people today? How has it brought me closer to other people in some kind of greater scheme of service or giving back? Have I helped others today? Have I encouraged a teammate? But what a performance-based identity does is it lies to you. And so everything's a threat. Your teammates are threats. It's all about me. It's about me if my teammate does well, I feel threatened by that. I can't be happy for them because somehow it's taking away from me. But when we recognize purpose, it's unique. It's unique to us that nobody can take our purpose from us. Then it becomes a solid foundation for which we can then perform at our best and feel the freedom to give everything we have every single day without fearing that the results define us. And so I always often say coming to this place where the results of competition are an expression of who we are and our hard work, but not a definition of who we are.
That's beautiful. I love that. And so, I mean, this is all coming from someone who, yes, you're an academic and you were a scholar athlete, but I want people to understand that you weren't just like your average athlete who is run of the mill. You really were one of the top athletes in your conference and in the nation. You were running in those qualifiers. So tell us a little bit about how these things and your experience, you know, in athletics, how this played a role in really shaping the direction you wanted to go with your profession.
Yeah. I mean, I was always a pretty driven person with sports and I loved competing. There was something about competition that I just loved, and it brought out the best in me. And so I was, multiple state champion in high school and multiple events in track and field and cross country. And then in college, I was able to qualify for the NCAA championships and run at that level. And then I made the U.S. indoor championships, and all of those things were really exciting for me. But especially at the big events, there was oftentimes I was really crippled by fear. I mean, I was afraid. I felt the fear rather than the excitement. Now, there are other moments where, and I think all of us athletes can relate to this, where you really feel present, that you're in the flow, that you're in the moment, that you're experiencing this the beauty of sport. What I didn't know is that I think for that to happen, it has to be fostered and intentional. And so for me, as I got injured, I went through some identity crisis of, okay, who am I? Like, what do I have to offer this world? I always had a sense of a greater purpose, but I wasn't connecting the two of sport and service together. And that's one thing that we talk about at Hope Sports is how do we, that you can live a life of purpose and still be competing at a very high level. And in fact, we would say the more emotionally healthy you are, the more likely you're going to have a long career. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately that when I got into this and I kind of looked into more of the traditional sports psychology literature, which I think sports psychology is incredible. It offers something really great to athletes, but they really focus on enhancing performance and performance restoration. They kind of in one of their main papers in the American Psychological Association, they talk about emotional health as kind of a quadrant that's important, but it's not always important. And for me, my area of expertise is emotional health. And it just happens that I'm really interested in this within sport because of my experience and my area of what I felt I could give back to sport. So for me, Ryan, this is my purpose. Like, I've transitioned from this place as an athlete where I want to give back to those that are competing so they can really fully experience and be connected to the beauty of sport and to find purpose in it so that it's lasting throughout their life. So they don't come to this place, which we see with some of these athletes that you discussed earlier, that we also see that are at the end of the career and they say, who am I? Like, what do I have to offer this world? What do I have to give? And that's kind of where I came from with my sport into really helping people and connecting with athletes now.
Yeah. And I just wanted you to go through that because I want athletes out there, because so many times, especially the younger athletes, but I see this at the adult level, that athletes are just like, ooh, that's too, you know, that's out there, you know, talking about emotional health and certainly, you know, psychological, all these things. And I just want them to see that athletes need to be doing this because you need to cultivate these things. And if you don't, you will find yourself, you know, not performing at your highest level because there's going to be some limiting factor, whether, you know, it's emotional or it's mental just in general. Like, for instance, I'm afraid to like score this point, but you need to know that the emotional aspects have a relation, a strong relation to that point too. Whether or not you're thinking clearly and in the moment on the court, your emotions play so much of a role outside of sport and in sport. So what I would like to do is kind of give people now, because they have an overview, right, of why it's so important and why finding purpose is something they should be doing now, wherever they are in their path, right?
Yeah. So
we know also that you're dealing with Hope Sports, right? What is and then there's so many different levels is what I want to bring to the table for athletes to think about. The gratitude, you know, waking up and saying three gratitudes or even one, right?
Right, totally. Yeah.
You know, crazy. You start small and you'll start to see what it does for you.
Yeah.
Athletes now that I work with, if they're feeling a little bit down or overwhelmed, I try and have them every morning and every night write down however many things come to mind, but at least one, and then read them out loud
that
night before they write the next ones in that morning. And then what happens is generally after a few days, they're like, oh my gosh, what am I even thinking?
Right.
Whoa. And it translates to their performance now in training and then in their games and all of that. So
yeah,
if we were to give people some way to just like move forward from here, I know that podcasts are amazing. So hearing you on this one, I hope will spark people to go see more about what Hope Sports is doing, what you're doing outside of that. But also some other podcasts out there dive into these topics, like Lewis Howes is a great one. You're talking about serving people. And I love the fact that his biggest thing is service. Serve others before you think about yourself. And most people out there are thinking, well, if I'm not healthy, how can I do that?
And right.
So what I want to tackle is just that one little thing to leave people with this thought. Yeah. Don't get crippled.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I would just say actually that those who are feel like they don't have it all together or feel broken are the best ones to serve. Because I think out of our own hurt and pain, when we do serve other people, it's real, it's genuine. And so, like you said, just start doing small things. Noticing, becoming aware during the day. I'll often talk to athletes about just being aware of the small joys in life, of a sunset, a tree, a moment where you felt connected to something greater than yourself. Just stop and notice. We're so busy. We're checking our phones. We're checking our social media. We're always doing things. But to really just create space to stop and to ask yourself, what is one small thing I can do for somebody today? Whether it's a text to your mom, whether it's your brother or a cousin or a friend, something that begins to move you outside of yourself. When we become self-focused, it actually becomes counterintuitive. It actually, the more we try to become self-focused and fix something with ourselves, the less likely we're to do the more likely we're to do something that we really don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But when you can actually have a real genuine relationship and be able to begin to connect with people in meaningful ways, it moves us outside of ourselves. And also I'll say, Ryan, I love the idea of having them read it out loud, because there really is something important for people to actually say things out loud so that they can hear them. And so that they, and I would even say, not only just say them out loud, but choose one person to share it with. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who's close to you to say, look, hey, today I experienced, I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful that I can run this fast, or I'm grateful that I get to be in a sport. Because when you share it with somebody, it also takes it to another level as well.
Yeah.
And you don't have to necessarily build. I mean, we at Hope Sports, we build homes for people, which is this amazing emotional experience that I think shapes people's lives. But when they leave, if they don't continue to connect to that part of themselves, then we soon forget these kind of emotional moments. You know, it's becoming a habit in our life that's important. Of just like you have the habit of working out, of training, that you start to have the habit of taking care of yourself emotionally. And that is I can't stress that enough. And it actually runs counter to what we see in sports a lot.
Totally. And I want to give people a few more things, because I was thinking about this and working with the athletes that I've been fortunate enough to work with over the last couple of years, and then also through my agency since 2006. I was always thinking, like, how can I empower them, equip them with tools so that they can really become, you know, self-actualize.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I would say is if you're starting off, if you just heard this and you're thinking, okay, great, I'm going to write down my gratitudes just as step one. Writing them down is better than putting them in your phone. Let's just say that, because writing, there's a strong connection between writing something, your mind, and really taking it in.
That's also, right.
Eating it. Your idea of speaking that to someone, which is great, because another thing that I like to do, a challenge of mine for the kids, is to write those. And then after a week is done, they have to speak to at least three people, if they were on there, some gratitude. And those people don't have to be the people that they're grateful for, because maybe they're shy to do that. They could say it to someone else. So sharing that money is really important. But then also grabbing an accountability partner.
Yeah,
so I think this is a great idea, because athletes, sometimes we're so alone if we're traveling and whatnot.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I'm in Berlin. I mean, you heard the ambulance go by. It's definitely a different ambulance than we have in the States.
Right.
What's really important is that you say to somebody who's like-minded, if you see someone that's doing things that you're interested in, say to them, like, throw it out there. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You always have you to do these things. And just say, you know what? I'm trying to take myself to another level, and I really want to help somebody else get to another level if they're interested in that. Let's try and keep each other accountable. So let's say our gratitudes every, I don't know, week or daily. If you really see each other, you could share it to each other by giving them the written gratitudes.
Yeah.
What else would you say before we give people a way to connect with you and follow you on your journey is a really good way to get started on this journey of emotional health in sport?
Well, I mean, the one of the challenges, Ryan, is with when we talk about identity, is that it's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the first steps is also being honest with yourself and taking note of, do I show signs of a performance-based identity? Is it a problem for me? I mean, that's kind of the first step. Be honest about it. And so there's several things that I think give us indications of this. One is sports isn't just not fun anymore, that the gift has become a burden. Another one is that the fear of failure is stronger than the sense of excitement. And also that you describe yourself only as an athlete, that you kind of, when people ask you what you do, you only describe yourself as an athlete. And the last one, there's lots of other things, but the last one is this feelings of worthlessness after a loss, after disappointment. If you have a hard time bouncing back from that, and just be honest and say, okay, these are things that I see that have been told to me that fuel me, that are supposed to help me perform better. And so by taking note of those first, I think you start to say, okay, now I need to ask the question, who am I? Like what describes me? And so one way to do this that can be really cool, I think, is to ask your loved ones around you, the people who know you the most, and not based in how you compete and how you perform, but just in who you are, and just say, hey, what are some words that you have for me that describe me? And start to think about, does this fit how I would describe myself? And start to move yourself beyond just kind of this idea of a performance-based identity by being honest with yourself, and then start to connect to purpose and do things, the gratitude journal, all these things along with it, or the gratitude, one gratitude a day, maybe one time of trying to do something nice for somebody else a day. That these are all things that can be helpful. And then the last thing I'll say that I find very helpful is really learning how to be more mindful in your daily life. I mean, mindfulness is a great tool in psychology that's really grown, and I think it's a very helpful thing, is to create quiet space apart from your phone, apart from social media, apart from other people, and just learning to be able to sit with yourself and kind of get an idea of how you're feeling and what's going on, even if it takes 2 minutes a day. You know, is reorienting yourself to what's important for that day.
Yeah, I listened to a great podcast with Lewis Howes. He was talking to the creator of Headspace.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It was fantastic because I mean, yeah. I use Headspace all the time, and
absolutely, yeah.
He was saying you can do just daily check-ins, like for 30 seconds, a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Just
bring yourself back to present. So this is such great info. I thank you so much. And just one more tip for people out there thinking about if you're going to do something for other people, right? Some people get lost on, wow, how do I do something good for someone else?
Yeah, sure.
Besides, you know, maybe opening a door or helping someone with, you know, their luggage or whatever it is. You can literally, the people you see every day when you go shopping and things like this.
That's right. Yeah.
I will try and connect with them by just asking them a little bit more about themselves, but nothing super personal. Like, hey, what's the most exciting thing that's happened to you recently? Or this is crazy that you've had the shop. How long have you had it? Ask them something that leads into something else, because sometimes those spark beautiful conversations and then relationships you never know with people. So
I love that. I love that idea. Just, and even just saying hi to people and looking up, you know, making eye contact and honoring them as human beings is really an important thing. And so that's a great idea.
Yeah. In big cities, that eye contact thing is so
important. Man. Yeah. You walk with your head down half the time. We don't realize people are around us. So.
And the other time we're on our phones. So it's
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to just turn it over to you before I ask you the final question that I ask everyone, but how can people connect with you on your journey and really follow what you're doing?
Yeah. So they can find me on Facebook, Dr. Ben Holtberg, and also on Instagram, Dr. Ben Holtberg. And they also can see some of the research that's coming out of the Thrive Center for Human Development. We're developing a phone app right now with a colleague, Dr. Sarah Schnicker, that will have some of these elements in it as far as helping people interact with something every day. So look out for that. They can email me directly. My email is on the websites, and they can connect with us at Hope Sports. We have tons of videos at Hope Sports. We'll be producing lots of things out of there. So lots of ways to stay connected. And any questions, I welcome. I love this. I love talking to athletes. And I would just say, know that don't buy into the lie that you have to sacrifice emotional health for success, that thriving is flourishing in all areas of life.
Beautifully said. I love this this whole topic, and I can't wait to share this with everyone out there. And I thank you so much. And I truly am grateful for your time. I know you're a busy guy, and I'm so happy that Gabby Cueva helped us so much to connect. I know she's so interested in the psychological aspects of sport and life as an athlete. And so also Guy East, who out and told us about you and gave us the article. So grateful for you guys. And I would love for everybody, if you like this, make sure you tweet at me. I'll share that with Dr. Holtberg, and I will definitely get the love to him in ways. If you have questions and you don't feel comfortable reaching out to him, you can email me, ryan@beyondathletic.com. And you mind if I give him the fuller.edu one?
Oh, no, that's great. Yeah.
So that's, bholtberg@fuller.edu. That's also going to be linked up in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, just click the album art with Dr. Holtberg's picture, and it'll flip over and give you the direct link to the blog post. So thank you guys so much, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks. It was a joy.
Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you go over to beyondathletic.com/48 to see the episode. And there's a cool little bonus video with Dr. Holtberg asking for pro athletes to sign up to make a little bit of money and also give some information to help the research. So go check it out. Thanks so much. Share it with friends.
So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box. telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops on the day that I got arrested.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.